against the power of our God.
Amen and good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church on this fifth Sunday in Lent. It is a joy to be in worship with all of you. I pray that this worship service this morning is a blessing to all of you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans. This morning we are going to continue on with our series From the Wilderness to the Cross. And our sermon title this morning is The Wee Little Man. Is that right? I'm assuming we're talking about a little guy named Zacchaeus, perhaps, and I hope that sermon today is a blessing to you. When you have an opportunity, please take a moment and register your attendance. You can do that by scanning the QR code that's on the back of the bulletin. So we would love to know that you're here, especially if you're visiting this morning. We would love to know that you're here and have an opportunity to talk to you about all the wonderful missions and ministries of Asbury United Methodist Church. I want to take a minute and talk to you about our Holy Week schedule. Holy Week is fast approaching. In fact, it starts next Sunday with our Palm Sunday service. And then we will move into a week that is very busy yet very joyous in the life of the church. We'll have our Monday Thursday service at 7 p.m. on the 14th, and that's going to take place in the Wilson Activity Center. It's going to be a great opportunity to come together and gather. It's a service that we really want to be family-friendly. We also want it to be what's called sensory-friendly. And so we're going to try this mode of worship where people from all walks of life, especially those with disabilities, are welcome and able to come and experience God's grace, the love of Christ in that service and in that setting. So we pray that you will be there and that you will join us. On Friday the 15th, we will have our Good Friday Tenebrae service. That will be at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, so we hope you are here for that. And then we'll get you out of here at a decent time, because Saturday morning we want all of you to wake up and come to the Easter egg hunt that we're going to have here on the South Lawn. That's going to be from 10 to 11:30 a.m. We have tons of candy, and so we thank you so much for that, but we are still looking for some more volunteers. If you head out down towards the donuts, if you just follow your nose when you leave the sanctuary towards the coffee, you will see there's a table with a sign-up sheet if you'd like to volunteer. We would love to have your help on what is a wonderful morning and a great opportunity for friends of ours from the community outside of Asbury to come and be with us. And then we'll wrap that up on Sunday, of course, with our Easter Sunday schedule. We'll have a sunrise communion service at 7 a.m. That will take place on the South Lawn. And then we'll have our 9 a.m. sanctuary service and our 11 a.m. launch service as well. Today, as you can tell by the altar, we are going to celebrate communion together. The old way, the normal way, what do we call it? The vintage way? I'm not sure what we call it. But we are going to do communion the way we have done it in the past. For those of you who would like to still use the self-serve communion sets we've been using for the last couple years, that's perfectly fine. When the ushers come down later on in the service and pass the plates for the offering, just flag them down and they'll get you one of those sets. With that, please stand and join me in our call to worship. When we need to climb a tree to look for help, Christ proclaims, "I am coming to your house today." When we feel lost and have nowhere to turn, Christ assures us, "I am coming to your house today." Christ is coming. Christ is with us even now. Worship the Lord with joy and praise. I now invite you to join me in the hymn of praise, which is "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." It's found on page 400 of your hymn. Please remain standing and join me for our invocation found in your bulletin. Good and kind God, thank you for welcoming us into your house. Thank you for bringing into your family the rich and the poor, people of all shades and colors, the strong and the weak, the smart and the foolish, the old and the young. Help us to climb, like Zacchaeus, above the crowd to see you. Make this place your house, a place where all find shelter, a place where people find open doors when others are shut. Help us to welcome sinners as you have welcomed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. As our ushers come down this morning for today's offering, my heart has been thinking so much about Zacchaeus and all those times in my life when I feel God present and close, and those times where I'm really straining to see him. And I know that through all those peaks and valleys, I know that we are fully loved and we are fully called into his mission and ministry at Asbury. Amen. As we take up our offering today, let's remember the gifts and the talents and the financial resources that we are called to contribute to the kingdom building process that we are on, so we can bring those to know Jesus Christ. As we come together today, whether it's the plate or whether it's giving online or whether it's through the text message or however you choose to do it, all of it will go to bless so many in ways we don't even know. So as we take up this offering, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we can be here together as a family, pulled together by you for a purpose that you have shown us and are continue to reveal to us. In each one of us is a mighty gift and a mighty talent, and we have been blessed with so much. And so, God, we know the call that you have placed in our lives, which is to be a blessing to each other and to be a blessing to others. So this morning, during this time of giving, this time of offering, let us feel that. Let us feel that call in our lives through the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in your Son's holy and beautiful name. Amen. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. We'll be in chapter 19, reading verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome and good morning. We're glad you're here with us in the sanctuary or joining us online. We're so glad that you're here. And welcome to our From the Wilderness to the Cross series. During the season of Lent, we are following Jesus' journey from temptation in the wilderness all the way to the cross on Good Friday. Today, we arrive in Jericho, the last stop on the way to Jerusalem, where we meet someone that Jesus encountered on the way out of town. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts shall be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. The very first church that I ever remember was Hunter Memorial United Methodist Church, which at the time, when I was little, was downtown right across from MacArthur Park. If you ever went to a show at the old Arkansas Repertory Theater, then you have been in that building, because that's what it became after the church moved to Southwest Little Rock in the early 1970s. At that time, they knew that the demographics of that part of town were changing. And so Hunter Memorial United Methodist Church became the very first racially integrated United Methodist Church in the state of Arkansas. And that was intentionally done, and my father was the pastor who led them through that process. Dad led them to become a place where everybody was welcome. So if Mom and Dad were here to tell you the story, they would tell you that I'd preach my very first sermon in the backyard of the old parsonage across from MacArthur Park at Hunter Memorial. I could not have been more than 3 years old. And the story is that Mom and Dad come out in the backyard, and they hear me out there hollering, and somehow I had managed to climb up on top of the doghouse, and I was wagging my finger at a tree saying, "Zacchaeus, you come down. You come down right now. I'm going to your house today." And the people of God said, amen. So I was tickled. I was really tickled about 14, 15 years ago when I got to go to Jericho. If you ever get a chance to go, I know some of you have, there is a 2,000-year-old sycamore tree that is kind of cordoned off, and they call it the Zacchaeus tree. Now, as everything in the Holy Land, they will say this might not have been the actual tree that Zacchaeus climbed up, but it was one like it, and it could have been its brother or its sister. So anyway, I thought that was super cool. So Jericho is about 15 miles east of Jerusalem. Like I said a moment ago, it's the last stop on the way to Jerusalem. And some of us learned a song. You know, we learned that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We learned that song. Another song that I remember from when I was, you know, 2 or 3 years old was Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Y'all remember that? And what has it in? And the walls came tumbling down. All right, so Jesus, I don't know if you know this, Jesus and Joshua in Hebrew are the same name. They're the very same name. They're just pronounced differently. And so Jesus comes to Jericho this day, and walls of a different type come a-tumbling down. So there was this man in Jericho, and his name was Zacchaeus. And Luke tells us three quick things about him. First of all, he lived in Jericho. Second of all, he was the chief tax collector. And third, he was rich. Very rich. And that actually tells us a whole lot about him. Because you see, the Bible said that every Jewish man had to take their family to the temple 3 times a year to pay their offering or to offer their sacrifice. Didn't matter how far away you lived, you had to make that journey 3 times a year. So if you're watching online, you'll see a map of Jesus' journey from Galilee in the north all the way down to Jerusalem in kind of the middle of the country. It was a 90-mile journey. Every town along the way had a tax collector. Now, what were they collecting taxes for? Well, these were Jewish men who collaborated with the Romans. They were getting the citizens, they were in charge of making the citizens pay their Roman taxes. Now, I know tax day is, it's actually Good Friday. Who thought to schedule it on Good Friday this year? That was not smart, but it's not helpful for pastors. But anyway, it's coming up. Nobody really likes to do that. You know, it's all of us dread that. But back then, you paid taxes not to Israel, but to Rome. To Rome. Nobody wanted to pay taxes to the stinking Romans. That would be like Vladimir Putin asking the people of the Ukraine pay Russian taxes. How do you think that would go? Not well. And it didn't go well back then either. So these were Jewish people who collaborated with the Romans and collected their taxes. And the Romans didn't care how much they charged as long as they got their appropriate cut. Tax collectors in any town could charge as much they wanted. And so many of them got rich by overcharging people on their taxes. So here's the thing. You're traveling from Galilee all the way 90 miles down to Jerusalem. Every town along the way has a tax collector. You get to the tax collector and he says, pay me your Roman taxes. And by the way, you're going to have to pay me a little bit more. You do that town after town after town. You finally get to Jericho, the last stop in your journey. And you, as a father, as a husband, are praying that you have enough money to pay this greedy tax collector and have enough left over just to make your offering when you get to Jerusalem. But Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in Jericho, the last stop among the way, was rich. He got rich by charging people more than they owed on their taxes. Sometimes he could take it all. And those families had nothing to offer to God in the temple on that journey. Other thing is that everybody in Jericho knew what Zacchaeus did. Amen? They all knew that this crook was one of them. So we can understand why they hated him so much. But Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and one day he hears that Jesus is passing through Jericho, and he goes to see him. And be honest with you, Luke isn't clear. It's either Zacchaeus or Jesus who was too short for Zacchaeus to see. The text is actually not clear about that, but we assume that it was Zacchaeus because he's the one that climbs the tree. In any case, he does. He gets up there to see him. Jesus walks by the tree and sees Zacchaeus sitting up there in those branches. And I want you to imagine that you are in the crowd that day. So Jesus comes to Little Rock, and we've heard about his miracles, and we've heard about his teaching and his preaching. We've heard about the good news that he shares. We've heard some of the things that he taught. And we know that over and over and over again, especially in Luke's gospel, Jesus has said, stingy people have to learn how to share. And so we watch, and Jesus looks up at that stingy little man up in the tree. And that's the guy that stole our money, and he's the one that took advantage of us and got rich, and he's the one that makes our town the dreaded place along the route to Jerusalem. And so we start pointing our fingers and giggling at him. Oh, look how dumb that looks. Look, a grown man up a tree. You go get him, Jesus. Smite him right out of that tree right now. So Jesus walks over to the tree, and sure enough, he raises his hand, and everybody's expecting the power of God's wrath to emerge and make this guy vanish into thin air. But instead, Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, why don't you hurry up and come down? I'm going to stay at your house today. I mean, what? Now, hold on just a minute. Where's the judgment? Where's the wrath? Where's the fire and the brimstone? Jesus invites himself over, and you know, if you stay at somebody's house, you're inviting yourself over for dinner back then. Remember last week we said that when you ate dinner with somebody, they became a part of your extended family. Jesus didn't treat Zacchaeus like a sinner. He treated him like a sibling, like a brother. Zacchaeus climbs down and takes Jesus home. Well, you can imagine the crowd hated it. They start whispering and griping and yang-yang. They say, Jesus went over to that bad guy's house. we thought he was pretty cool. We'd heard he was pretty cool. But if he's going to hang out with sinners like that, I don't know. Maybe he's not who we thought he was. So Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. It sounds kind of nice. It sounds kind of quaint, kind of cool. But think for a moment. Jesus comes over to your house, uninvited, unexpectedly. What do you think Mrs. Zacchaeus said? I mean, it depends on who the uninvited guest is. I mean, my brother could show up basically any time, you know, day or night. He'd be welcome. But if Bishop Mueller comes by, I really would appreciate a phone call before that. And this is not just the bishop. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No warning, just, hey, I'm coming over to your house. So Jesus comes to your house, and you're going to want him to be at home, right? I mean, you give him the most comfortable chair. You give him the comfy chair. Let him put his feet up. You hand him the remote, don't you, so he can watch whatever he wants on your big screen TV. You embarrassed about anything on your DVR? You say, hey, Jesus, you want something to drink? I know you must be thirsty. He says, yes, I am. You go to your refrigerator, and you look, and you going to tell him everything you got in your refrigerator? You say, Jesus says, I really need to check my email. I need to check my social media. I've been getting a lot of traction lately. I need to check that. So you say, well, come on in. You know, get on my laptop and check. Are you going to be worried that Jesus accidentally sees your search history? Or gets into your online banking, or God forbid, opens your checkbook? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I would be a lot more comfortable just going over to Jesus' house sometime rather than him coming to my house, especially uninvited. Maybe that's why so many of us try to leave Jesus here in God's house rather than taking him home for Sunday dinner every week. Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, and he makes himself right at home. And all of a sudden, just like we would, Zacchaeus starts seeing his home, his wealth, his riches, his luxuries through Jesus' eyes. And Jesus knows everything about Zacchaeus. Knows everything that makes him feel ashamed. And he loves him anyway. Zacchaeus looks at Jesus and he says, sir, I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I have defrauded, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times what I took from them. This would have left Zacchaeus absolutely destitute. On top of that, if Zacchaeus was put on trial in a court of law back then, and found guilty, he would have been told that he had to pay back double what he had taken. He offers to pay back twice what he took from others, twice what was expected. It's important for us to recognize in this story that Jesus accepted Zacchaeus first, and then Zacchaeus changed. Now, I know we don't want it to work that way. We want bad people to feel bad about what they did and say they're sorry first. You go ahead and get your life together, you change first, and then we will accept you into God's family. But we've seen this Sunday and last Sunday that that's not the way that works, is it? Jesus welcomes sinners into God's family first, and then they changed. Now that's what we call grace. And grace means that God loves us unconditionally, and that kind of gracious love changes us from the inside out. It invites us to repent, to change our lives, and then we become more and more like Jesus each and every day. That's what salvation is all about. Jesus says that himself here. When Zacchaeus tells Jesus what he's going to do, Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. He is also a member of God's family. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. See, one of the things that you see in Luke's gospel is that Jesus invites his followers, his disciples, that's us today, to do what he did. So if Jesus came to seek and save the lost, then we are to seek and save the lost too. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we remember that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house first. And we talk a lot, we're talking a lot right now about getting more people into God's house, and we miss some of the folks that we haven't seen in a while. We want to invite our friends and family that we haven't seen in a couple of years because of the pandemic to join us when they are ready, and we want to welcome them with open arms. But it also includes those who are outside God's family right now. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Getting outsiders into church only happens when we who are inside get out and invite them. So we have to get out and love people wherever they are. We have to go and find them and love them. That's what seeking them and saving them is all about. Second thing is that we have to remember that we are a family. And to be honest, there are some family members that I'm probably not going to say much about in my life. I can tell by some of the smiles that you have that experience too. There are some people that we would rather not have as a part of God's family. Some of that's because when we're around people like that we feel uncomfortable. There are also bad people in the world, and we don't want bad people in God's family. We want them to get what they deserve, like the crowd did that day. But friends, when we see bad people, God simply sees broken children, hurting children, isolated children, lost children. Now, one Bible story where all the bad people get what they deserve is in the book of Exodus, and most of us are probably familiar with this story. Moses is rescuing the Israelites from their Egyptian oppressors, and as they run away from them, they get to the Red Sea, and Moses raises his rod, and God parts the waters, and all of the Israelites run across to the other side to safety. And when the Egyptians try to cross, well, as the song says, all of Pharaoh's army did the dead man's float. But there's an old Jewish story that goes like this. It tells about the party that they had in heaven, the big celebration they had in heaven that day. And all of the angels were cheering and dancing and making a lot of noise. And one of them looked around and realized that somebody significant, somebody important wasn't there. And so the angel goes to the archangel Michael and says, Michael, where is God? And Michael looks at him and says, God isn't here. God is off by himself crying. You see, thousands of his children drowned today. You see, God wants every single one of God's beloved children at the family reunion. And so God challenges us not to give into our hate. God invites us to see even the worst sinners, people like Zacchaeus, not as enemies or as sinners, but as God's beloved children. To do that, we must go where they live. We must love them as they are. And we must welcome them as brothers and sisters into God's family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for seeking us and for saving us. And God, we pray that you will work in our hearts to make us truly honor the gift that is your grace at work in our lives. Help us to look at people who have done us wrong, people who have made our community look bad, people who have harmed others whom we love. Not as bad people, but as broken people. Needing your grace, needing your love, and needing reconnection as part of your family. God, we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. This meal reminds us that we are a family, all of us. And I remember, I won't say what grade because they might be watching, but there was somebody that really treated me bad. I mean, just, and I was junior high. And one Sunday I looked down and they were kneeling with their family for communion. And that day I had to serve my enemy communion. We are one human family. One human family, united by God's grace, not because of who we are, but because that's who God is. As we continue, I want to say that we are offering options for people, and if you would prefer to have a self-serve packet for communion, those are available from the ushers. Just raise your hand, and they'd be glad to bring you one. Otherwise, we're going to, and this, I told somebody earlier, this is the first time I've ever been in a church 9 months and haven't served communion like we used to. Strange. So please forgive me if I goof up. But let us continue. I do want our guests to know that you don't have to be a member of the Asbury Church family to receive communion. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is the Lord's table, it's not our table, and all of God's children are welcome to come and freely receive. Would you join me on page 15 in your hymnal? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to evil, sin, and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, shared it with his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, God, as we remember these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us wherever we are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
Gracious, loving God, we lift up all who are ill or in special need of your grace. We pray especially for Clifford Smith, June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, Patty Shoemaker, Jean Hammett, and the family and friends of Patty Wilkerson.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of God's children, let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing of the body of Christ.
The cup which we bless is a sharing in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite those who are helping us serve today to come forward now.
Till you come to my kingdom.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of our spirit to give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
If you would like to become a part of God's family by joining Asbury United Methodist Church, you're welcome to do that. As we stand and sing together our closing hymn, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast, number 616. Amen. Next Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. We'll celebrate Palm Sunday with our Palm Sunday processional. And we ordered palms for everybody. You might want to wear green. I don't know, just to kind of blend in. Camo will work if you want. But anyway, we invite you to join us for that. And then all of the Holy Week events are going to be amazing. And a lot of folks working on that. So I want to encourage you to come on Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday at 7 p.m. each night. And then back on Easter Sunday, we brought back the Easter sunrise service. Amen? It's too bad we can't go to the farm or wherever that used to be. But anyway, we're going to have Easter sunrise at 7 o'clock out on the south lawn, and then Easter worship here. I do want to tell you, it is a very good time to call your friends, people who you haven't seen in a while, who you know from Asbury, and invite them to come to church. Most people will do that with an invitation. It's also a very good time to invite people who don't have a church family that you know in your life to come and worship with us on those days. It really doesn't, the research, contrary to my arrogance and pride, people come to church because they know the people, not the pastor. Amen? And so that's the most important work that you can do, is simply inviting people that you know who don't have a church home to come and celebrate the good news with us. So I want to encourage you to do that today. Invite somebody to come next week, and sure enough, invite folks to come on Easter Sunday. I do want to say thank you to everybody for who helped us in worship today. I appreciate all of you, the choir, the AV folks in the back, Brother Nick, Sadie, our acolyte, who we recruited right before the service. Amen. Ushers did a great job this morning as well. But would you please receive this blessing? Okay, Sadie, we're going to walk out. Mm-hmm. Go forth with Christ. With Christ above you to be your guide. With Christ below you to hold you up. With Christ beside you to be your friend. And with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.